Good morning, church. It's a bit of a chilly morning this morning, but it's great to be up and about watching the sunrise and spending some early morning time with God. When do you spend your time with God? When do you find is the best or the most convenient time for you? I find often that life gets so busy that our time with God gets shunted out. It's often the last thing to put on the priority list. But we're on a journey together, and part of this journey is just really encouraging each other to maintain our relationship with God and to maintain our relationship with one another. So we're on this, started this journey with a dangerous journey with a guy called Christian. It's a book that John Bunyan wrote, and Christian is the main character, and Christian has this big heavy burden and he's just overwhelmed with it and he needs to get rid of it. And he meets this guy called Evangelist, and Evangelist tells him how to get rid of it. He points him to this shining light, the yonder wicket gate. And he says, "Do you see that shining light?" He says, "Keep your eye on that light and go that direction, and so shall you reach the gate. And then when you get there, knock, and then you'll be told what to do." And so he embarks on this journey and to get rid of this this heavy burden. We too are on this journey, and for some reason you've embarked on a kingdom journey towards the kingdom of God. Maybe someone told you about it. Maybe you grew up hearing about it as a child, or you read something. But for whatever reason, you and I, with Christian, we're on this journey toward the kingdom. And it's not an easy journey. It's a difficult journey. In fact, Bunyan calls it a dangerous journey. So what is it about the journey that's so dangerous? Matthew chapter 7 says that, gives us a bit of a hint, referring to this narrow gate. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to hell is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." Now, what is it about the journey that makes it so difficult? What is it that makes it so dangerous? Well, Christian, along the way, he gets the wrong advice. He gets advice from his neighbours who say to him, "Don't go. It's ludicrous. It's dangerous. It's too difficult." And so he ignores them. He has this book in his hand, this Bible, and he keeps referring to it, saying, "No, this is what it says. There's hope. There's a future." And so he keeps referring to it. But along the way, he hits pitfalls. Not long after meeting Evangelist, he comes along to this pit, the slough of despond. It's this pit of despair, and he and his friend fall into it, and they begin to drown because he's got this heavy burden on his back. He begins to sink deep into this pit of despair. Hard to get out. He can't get out, not on his own. And as he's there, this guy comes along. His name is Help, and Help reaches out and helps and pulls him out of this pit of despair. I just think it's a fantastic picture that there is just so much going on in the world. There's another guy he meets called Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Mr. Wiseman gives him some advice about going and meeting a judicious man, a gentleman whose name is Legality. And he's a man of a very good name. He has skills to help men off with their burdens. And he has, to my knowledge, cured several who were going out of their wits because of them. And there are so many pitfalls and so many things that can go wrong on our journey. We fall into all these pits of despair and the legality of the law, and take advice from Mr. Worldly Wiseman, and we're easily off the journey. We easily miss the mark that we're setting towards. And so that's why Christian carries with him this book. He's constantly got it, even in the pit of despair. He's holding it up above the mud, trying to keep it dry. And he uses it as a guide constantly to where he wants to go. So thank you for all those people who have shared on WhatsApp and shared their reflections on the Bible. It's an encouragement to everyone, and it keeps us all on the track. God speaks to us all differently in different ways, and so the application of the Bible, it could be a number of different things. And I find often that the application that I usually draw out of it is mostly applicable to me. God's trying to say something to me. So keep listening, keep searching the scriptures and listening to God, and see what God says to all of us, because it's beneficial to all of us. For me, I really enjoyed the irony of this chapter, where it seems to me that it became a full circle, that Saul's job was to rid the land of the Amalekites, and in the end, this Amalekite killed Saul, put Saul to death. And to me, it's a reflection of our role, you know, in the sin nature in us, that our role as Christians on the journey is to get rid of this world, to put to death the sin nature and get rid of it. And Saul didn't do that, and in the end it come back to bite him or kill him. And David was the opposite. He actually put to death the Amalekite and was able to reign in the kingdom. And so really, that's the encouragement through scripture, isn't it? Just to put to death this sin nature, to turn your back on this world like Lot did, and walk away and don't look back and keep on going. It's the journey of the Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, and it's our journey as well. And we're on this journey together. You're a part of a Christian family. You're a part of a group of people that really care for one another, even though we can't be socially close. We can still be sharing this journey together. So I really encourage you to share your reflections, journal something so that you can share that. And the other thing we're doing is doing spiritual disciplines. And the spiritual discipline we want to do today really fits in with this passage of putting to death the sin nature. The spiritual discipline I wanted to practice this week is silence. Silence is about relinquishing the false self. I'll explain why. In silence, it can be deafening. In silence, when there's nothing else apart from birds and trucks going down the hill, when you're just left alone with your thoughts, that can be quite a scary thought. And so we enter into this silence, this space where we're not trying to hear from God, we're not reading anything, we're not doing anything, we're just being still. And it's a bit of a weird thing in our world today, because we're not good at it. We're always busy, we're always rushed, we're always either speaking or we're always listening. Being silent just allows time for you to go deeper into self and to think about what's going on in there, and just give all that back up to God. Let me read a quote. Dallas Willard is huge on spiritual disciplines. Dallas Willard says, "Solitude is a terrible trial, for it serves to crack open and burst apart the shell of our superficial securities. It opens out to us the unknown abyss that we all carry within us, and it discloses the fact that these abysses are haunted. We can only survive solitude if we cling to Christ there. And yet, what we find of Him in that solitude enables us to return to society as free persons. Silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of life. It reminds us of death, which will cut us off from this world and leave only us and God. It doesn't really give us a real good reason to go into solitude, does it, where we're haunted in the abyss. But the good news is that it's in that abyss, it's in that space that we find Christ. Here's another quote on silence from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's a German pastor. He says that we're so afraid of silence that we chase after ourselves from one event to the next in order not to spend a moment alone with ourselves, in order not to have look at ourselves in the mirror. To be silent before God means to be humbled before God, to feel the pain of contrition, but beyond all measure, there is the joy of love and grace. And with that, we're led to ask, what do we need to do in order to reach the state of silent waiting for God? In answer, I can only say a little out of my quite modest experience. None of us, he says, is so rushed that it would be impossible to allow even 10 minutes a day, in the morning or in the evening, in which arrangements could not be made for silence, in order to place oneself in the presence of eternity, allow it to speak, question it, and thereby look deep within and far beyond oneself. Whoever earnestly works at this day by day will be overwhelmed by the golden harvest of the fruit of those times. May God grant us all to know this rest. May He draw us into solitude and silence. Saint Seraphim of Sarov says this. He says, when you pray, be like a mountain, in stillness, in silence, thoughts rooted in eternity. Do nothing, just sit, just be, and you will harvest the fruit of your prayer. Interesting thought, isn't it, to be just still and like a mountain and harvesting the fruit of your prayer. So we've got a few things to think about this week. What is your big prayer? What is it that you're actually asking God for? And I hope that it's not something like $1 million or something like that, or a big flash house, because our journey is towards this person, Jesus. And our big prayer needs to be along the lines of helping us to become more and more like Him, more and more like Jesus. And that's what the journey's about. It's a journey to a person. And so as we journey together, that's what we're to do. We're encouraging one another. As we journey along, I encourage you just to journal and take dot points, if you like, of your journey so that you can reflect on it and be an encouragement to others as well. Keep up with the scripture readings, 2 Samuel chapter 2 is this week. Have a look at that and just reflect. Ask God to speak to you through that. And don't forget to spend some time in silence. Really try and make that a priority this week. It doesn't matter how long it is. Just try and see how you go. And I really encourage you to journal that and just reflect on how hard it is and maybe what you thought about. And if you feel up to it, you can share that. That would be great. But that's about it for this week. So let me pray for you as we head off into another busy week. Try and make room for God. So thank you, Father, for this, for your word, for the encouragement that it is. We thank you that it really outlines to us the path, this road that you want us to take, a path that leads to great hope, to a kingdom of heaven, to a place of no crying and no death and no pain, just joy in your presence and love. And until we reach there, Father, we know that we've got a difficult journey to go on to. And we thank you for the church that is with us on this journey, helping us along the way. We thank you for the encouragement that each one is. We thank you for your word and for your spirit that lives in us and that just guides us along the way. We pray for strength as we do these spiritual disciplines, that we exercise these spiritual disciplines to build our strength in order to maintain and reach the end of our journey. And so we give you thanks for all of these things, for your word, for our church, for your spirit, and for just a chance to be with you and on this journey together. Oh, well, pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.